Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.Golf's Shirts of Summer. There are two constants of a Wisconsin summer, heat and humidity. Iron Jock tackles them both with its advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. With Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, back in Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin State Open Week. We've got the Iron Jock Shirts of Summer packed and ready to go, Gary D, because, I don't know, maybe at least on Wednesday, if we try to play golf before the final round. The final round, of course, of the State Open is always 36 holes. We start out tomorrow at Ozaukee Country Club with 156 golfers, starting early, I think just after 7 a.m., and then through the day, Monday and Tuesday, they cut to the low 60 in ties, and then play 36 on Wednesday. It goes fast. The weather, though, looks great. And, of course, the golf course is outstanding.
Yeah, this has got to be great for you, Rob, to come from Phoenix where it's over 100 every day, and it's supposed to be 72, 74 degrees the next 3 days. So I know you're going to enjoy that. So am I. It's going to be a good week to walk a golf course. That's a very walkable course, Rob. We'll, you know, I don't know if Joe Stadler let us have a card or not, but we won't really need one because that – Ozaukee is very walkable, an old Langford Moreau course. Of course, the guy's famous for Lasonia Links and Spring Valley, and a great field, even though we're missing a few, you know, big names, but still a great field, and we're going to have a great winter this week.
Now, I flew from Phoenix to Milwaukee with Patrick Stolpe, who was a runner-up in this event a couple of years ago, and former Oostburg golfer at Oostburg High School, and now a mini tour guy out in the desert. And I asked him if he'd played the course. He was going to play it when we flew in on Saturday and then again on Sunday morning. And he said that he thinks if they get the greens putting really fast, this could be a huge challenge for the field to stay under par.
I agree, Rob. But, you know, I played it last week, and it's the greens are, I'm sure, are going to be a little faster and firmer than what I saw, but they were already, you know, at stay open speed plus. I mean, they're very, very quick greens. There's a lot of contour and slope in them, and we're going to see a lot of three putts. If you're not familiar with the greens and don't know where to place the ball in the greens, you know, you're going to see a lot of three putt bogeys. The course isn't overly long, Rob. It, you know, it's not a course that you have to haul out driver on every hole and smash it, but it's a thinking man's course, and around the greens is where it's where the defensive power is. And if you don't know how to, you know, approach the greens and where to miss the greens, you're going to be making automatic bogeys if you short side yourself. So it's going to be a real test for especially a lot of the younger players who aren't accustomed to that kind of golf.
Now, the last time that Ozaukee Country Club hosted a State Open, 1968, is that correct? Manuel De La Torre, knocked off Andy North to win the title. Stroke play event won with a 280 total, and then it was the first of back-to-back runner-up finishes for the future two-time U.S. Open champion at Andy North. I know that Ozaukee hosted a state amateur back in, I believe it was 2014. I counted 23 golfers who played in that event playing now. Some of them have turned professional. I wasn't at Ozaukee for that one, but I'm sure there'll be some similarities there in terms of course setup and maybe the results of the tournament in terms of, you know, what kind of winning score might be produced this week.
Yeah, Rob, you know, I don't think anyone's going to light it up, at least certainly not 4 days in a row. You know, someone might go out and shoot a 65 or 66 one day, but it's going to be really hard to play that kind of golf 4 days in a row. You know, and depending where they put the pins and what the weather does, what the wind does, there's a lot of different lines off the tee in different kind of winds. So you really have to, you have to know the course, you have to know your own game, and you have to be willing to, you know, you have to be very patient and be willing to take what the course gives you.
Now, in that state amateur, Alex Gauger, who now caddies on the PGA Tour for Erik van Rooyen, he was at the University of Minnesota at the time. He's from Lake Geneva, won with a 286 total, and that was six over par, but he did shoot a 268 in the final round. And, you know, again, in the second and third rounds of that tournament, Gary, it looked like a survival thing. And here in the state open, you have one day for that second round where you can survive in a day, you know, go back to the hotel or go home, rest, regroup, and then come back for round three and do the same thing in a state amateur. In a state open, you can go back to the hotel, rest, and get ready. But then it's back-to-back rounds on the same day to finish. Of all the marathons that we've covered in the state open, I figure a course, a traditional course like Ozaukee, makes that the most mentally challenging day of golf that a lot of these golfers in the field will ever experience. Because, you know, nothing against Black Wolf Run that we've seen, but you pretty much know what you're going to get at an Ozaukee. You've got to keep it between the lines, and as we said, you got to keep it below the hole.
Yeah, and as I'll reiterate a point I just made, I think patience is going to be a real key. And I, you know, some of the younger golfers might struggle with that. They're used to making birdies when they go out and play. And it's, you know, you're not going to make eight or nine birdies at Ozaukee Country Club. You're just not. I mean, a really good day, you might make four or five, and then you've got to keep those mistakes to a minimum. And you know, just if you throw in a couple of bogeys, then you shoot 200 or 300 par, which would be, that's going to be a great round for anybody in this tournament.
Now, when Gary D'Amato played Ozaukee Country Club the other day, how many birdies were on the card? What tees did you play? And how did Ozaukee treat you, my friend?
It treated me very cruelly, Rob. I actually played with Jordan Niebrugge, who we'll talk about in a little bit. And he played it from all the way back. I of course, played up one tee, the members' tees. And, yeah, I struggled. I putted pretty good, actually. With the old Caliber Solution hockey stick putter, Rob, but it was from tee to green where I struggled. But it was fun watching Jordan play.
They let that hockey stick through the gates, did they?
I hid it in my bag. Yeah, they didn't see it, and it was too late once I was on the first green.
Very good, very good. Well, and that speaks to I got to play yesterday after I landed, and there's nothing like bent grass greens. So you know. I think, you know, you putting well on Ozaukee's greens speaks to the idea that if you know how to putt, if you know how to read the greens, you're going to get rewarded. And you just maybe have to spend an extra few seconds, you know, making sure you have the line down. And, you know, on greens that they're going to have rolling probably pretty fast, I mean, that's half the battle, but also half the fun. I mean, it's not like, you know, the POA greens I putted in California or these, I guess, Bermuda-type greens, kind of spongy that we have in Arizona. And this is a true blade of grass that really I love coming back just to putt the greens around here.
Yeah, they're fast and pure. And, you know, I putted pretty well, partially, Rob, or maybe mostly because Jordan Niebrugge read a lot of putts for me. Of course, he was a member there for many years. And so, you know, it was funny, Rob, on the ninth hole, it's an uphill par three. I missed the green long and left. And Dick Sucher, who was very kind enough, a longtime member there, Hall of Famer in our state, was kind enough to host Jordan and I out there. And so as soon as I hit it up there left, they both said, oh boy, that's trouble. And when I got up to my putt or a chip, Rob, Jordan stood on the green. I knew it sloped pretty strong downhill from left to right. And I was going to aim about 10 feet left of the hole. And Jordan walked up to the top of the green and said, you got to chip it up here. And I did. And I hit the chip pretty good, and the ball literally took a right turn and ran 70 feet down the hill toward the pin, and I had like a 3-footer left for par. But if I would not have aimed where he told me to aim, I would have definitely chipped it off the green. So that's the kind of stuff that guys who haven't played there are going to have to really study those greens to learn that kind of stuff.
Well, let's talk about your round with Jordan Niebrugge. We'll talk at the end of our podcast about some of the golfers who aren't here. Jordan's back for the first time in a long time. And for a long time, Jordan Niebrugge was kind of the guy that everybody talked about because, you know, this is a kid who had great success at Oklahoma State. This is a guy who was the low amateur at the British Open. I believe was it at St. Andrews too, wasn't it?
It was.
And you know, everyone thought this star was going to rise and rise fast. I saw him at Korn Ferry Tour qualifying, oh gosh, about 3-4 years ago now. And he really had that swagger about him. And then something went wrong. career got derailed, and he just hasn't been able to put it together. He's back home living in Wisconsin. He's back home playing in the State Open. I think it's great for the tournament that he's there, and I hope the tournament is a great maybe starting point for a resurgence here for Jordan Eberge.
Yeah, he last played in the State Open in 2011 when he won, Rob, as an 18-year-old. He had just turned 18. He was a high school student at Mecklen Homestead and youngest winner ever at that point. I believe he still is. And you're right. He was a world beater, you know, for that next 4 or 5 years after he won there, you know, winning the 2013 State Am, State Match Play, Western Am, and U.S. Amateur Public Links. And then, as you mentioned, a couple of years later, low amateur in the British Open. He, Robbie, he has cycled through a couple of swing coaches and has gotten a lot of different advice. And I think he got away from what he did best. He always hit a controlled draw. That was his preferred shot shape. And about 3 years ago, he, on the advice of a coach he was working with, tried to change to a fade. And it just wasn't, it's not what he's used to seeing. It's not what he's used to, you know, feeling out on the golf course. And he said he'd play great for 15 holes, and then he double-crossed himself a couple times and hit it way left. And he said, when you're in Monday qualifiers or playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, you can't be re-teeing. You can't be hitting three off the tee. So he's back to hitting a draw. He's gone back to his old shot shape. He's mostly coaching himself now. And I'll tell you what, he played great the other day, Rob. He bogeyed the first hole, and after that, he was pretty much flawless. I think he made five birdies. I think he shot four under, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, that kind of round is going to go a long way in the State Open.
Well, let's hope there's some good hometown karma coming back to play in Mequon. I think that's a rather neat, maybe, you know, chemistry between the location of the tournament. As you said, a former member there. I saw him, was it last year, maybe the year before when I came back, covered a sectional at North Shore in Mequon, and he was working hard at the putting green, just trying to get that, you know, that part of his game shored up. You know, the other good karma going on is that his good buddy Kevin Doherty from the Korn Ferry Tour, who he stayed with out in Marietta when for the second stage qualifiers that I covered when he'd go through there. He's playing well this weekend. You know, it's weird in professional golf, Gary, there are no mid amateurs. You are always a professional playing with, no matter whether it's an 18-year-old below you or a 50-year-old who's still got game. You know, there is no, so you do have the benefit of time, but I'm sure mentally Jordan's thinking, you know, how much longer can I be grinding like this? And, but at the same time, I don't know what Jordan would do if he wasn't trying to pursue a professional career. And he's still got the talent. He's still the same Jordan Eberge.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rob. That talent is in there. We've seen it come out many times in the past. And boy, from what I saw the other day, it looks like he's ready to bust out. You know, he's back to hitting that draw. Just got married 3 weeks ago. Just got back from a honeymoon a week or so ago. Living in Shorewood again, you know, close to where he grew up. And he just had a real calm presence about him in that practice round. And I just like the way he's going about things, Rob. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we see him on the leaderboard. I mean, he probably should be there.
Well, we will see how Jordan Eberge fares in a second here. We'll talk about other contenders. But first, we want to mention that Talking.Golf is presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.Golf Shirts of Summer. There are two constants of a Wisconsin summer: heat and humidity. Fortunately, it'll be a great week for the State Open. So if we wear our Iron Jock, it'll simply to show off the Iron Jock logo and let people know that Iron Jock has advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into that every piece of apparel that Gary and I wear, and it kills the bacteria through a process called silver ion technology. In other words, you don't sweat, or when you do sweat, it doesn't smell, and that guarantee is there for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. You can learn more about all the Iron Jock products and join Iron Jock Nation at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. I do like the weather forecast, Gary. And even though as we record this on a Sunday morning, it looks pretty, looks Seattle-like out the window. We're supposed to get sunshine. We're supposed to get, you know, temperatures in the 70s, overnight lows in the 60s. It's, to me, perfect State Open time. We'll talk about whether it's the perfect dates for the State Open in a little bit. But, you know, we don't have a number of guys, and we'll address that in a few minutes as well. But boy, we have a lot of guys who are playing well. And I think the field is speaks to the depth of talent in Wisconsin because we still have a ton of guys who can make a difference in this state open. Who do you like? What are you looking at in terms of the field?
Well, I went through your excellent diagnosis of the field, Rob, which is posted on Wisconsin.gov. And, you know, I picked out 10 names. I've got a list of 10 guys. And I think one of these 10 is going to win it, Rob. And but I'll just narrow it down to a few. Mick Smith from the club professional side just won the state WPGA match play, and he's two-time defending champion in stroke play, playing very well. I really like his chances. And then among the young guys, you know, you've got to like what Ty Kretz and Cameron Huss and the Garski or the Adams, Garski and Miller have done lately. They've wouldn't be a surprise at all to see Garski been so steady in the last few big tournaments he's played in. Jordan Ebrugge, of course, and then Hunter Eichhorn and Skip Kendall coming back home also. We haven't mentioned him yet, but, you know, Skip obviously played Ozaki a lot when he was young, I'm sure. And, I would think since it's not a course you have to overpower, and Skip's a great putter, I like his chances too. How about you?
I like all those names. Another one that I'll throw in there because he's found something. And that's the thing, you know, recent form sometimes doesn't always play a factor, but the mini tour guys that, you know, you might want to keep an eye out for. Emmett Herbs won. He struggled mightily at the first qualifier. I believe he played at Hawks Landing, shot like 78. And I was really surprised. That's just not, you know, Emmett's game to go that high. And then found something in his game. You know, he's a hard worker, so he keeps working at it. And then had a great, I think it was around a 66 in a two-day qualifier for an event on the Dakotas Tour. It was a kind of a pro-am on a Monday, Tuesday. And then the guys who weren't exempt into the tournament at the end of the week then got in if you were in the top five or six. So he got in with that. And then played really well for three rounds there. And then a final round 77 knocked him down. I think he had like a 64 or another 66 in the third round. So he's been going low, but then he goes to the last chance qualifier over at Dretzka and shoots 65 to win it. And so he can go low, and he's gone low on, I would say, classic courses like a North Shore in Menasha at that state am a few years ago, played well there. Keep an eye on Emmett Herb. Peter Webb has gone through a lot this year. He lost his dad at the start of, you know, early in the year after having gotten married on January 1st. You know, you're hearing a lot about these young guys getting married and starting families. I think that, Gary, is, you know, we've seen it before. It's helped a lot of guys. It's helped a lot of people who have grinded and struggled to give them focus and purpose. And Peter played well last year at Black Wolf Run and Kohler. And at Pine Hills in Sheboygan, I believe he finished top 10. He was actually T6, started out well, 68-70, then finished 73-74. I would keep an eye on him. And then Sam Anderson out of Stoughton, another mini tour guy who had a great year on the PGA Tour Latino American. First of all, you got to give Sam credit for going down there. We've had a number of guys through the years, Gary, as you know, qualify for that tour and then realize that sometimes the travel down there is more complicated and the reward's not as great. And then they kind of, you know, maybe play an event or two and then jump off and wait for the, you know, the Canadian Tour qualifying and try to get, into the mix there. But Sam's had a great year early, hasn't played a ton of stuff recently, but I'm sure he's been working on his game. And he's another guy who had great success last year and has had great success all along. I think we've talked about this before, Gary. Sam Anderson's a guy who has had probably more top fives and top 10 finishes in state AMs and state opens over the last 5 to 10 years than anybody, and just hasn't broken through with a W. I would keep an eye on him.
Actually, Rob, all three of those guys you just mentioned were on the list of 10 that I compiled. So great minds think alike. Yeah, I was going to mention those guys too, if you didn't. So all three of them are obviously excellent players, and I would think that they would all have a really good chance this week.
Have you, Gary, I just called it up now. I have not looked, I'm not a big guy on player of the year point standings as they're unfolding. So I seldom ever look at them. But the WSGA men's player of the year list, you know, if we're looking for amateurs, You mentioned Adam Miller and Adam Garski. The two Adams are both in the top five and have played well. They've Adam Miller with the heartbreaking runner-up finish at Sand Valley, where he desperately wanted to win on a course where he's caddied for the last 7 or 8 years. And then Jack Schultz, we'll talk about him in a minute. He's one of the guys not in the field because he's out at the U.S. Amateur. But number three on the list, Garrett Jones. And, Garrett's a guy who, he's got a real job now, former Badger golfer. And again, another guy who I don't think he's never won a state am, if I'm correct, and never won a state open, but he's contended many times. He's currently number three on the list. He got 400 points for winning the Badgerland Invitational, which is a 2-day event up at Oneida Golf and Riding in Green Bay, and always has a state open like field. Finished T5 at the Dairyland Open up at the 1-day 36-hole event at Lake Wisconsin, and then was runner-up at the Ray Fisher, quiet runner-up, because there were a lot of guys that were runner-up at the Ray Fisher behind Mason Schmidtke, and then got some points for playing well at the Balance and Believe, and hasn't played in a points event since then. But he's another guy who, has played well in this event, and I'm not sure how well he played last year. He was T26 last year, so just kind of, just outside the conversation. But boy, Garrett Jones on a course like this, Mike Bilowski, you're getting some of these amateurs who have played long enough where, dissecting the greens at Ozaukee isn't such a physics project anymore.
Yeah, I had no idea Garrett was number three on the points list. That's I guess I'm a little surprised, but again, I'm not, because I watched him play at the Ray Fisher, and he did have a chance to win with a few holes left until Mason Schmidtke kind of grabbed it with a couple holes left with a couple big birdies. But yeah, Garrett, definitely. I mean, I think he won the match play last year, if I'm not mistaken. Excellent player. Won the Fisher in the past. So he's been in the winner's circle. He knows what it's like to win. And he's got the experience on his side.
And then in that massive rundown of the various qualifying sites and that kind of thing, the one name that jumped out that I was surprised it actually jumped off the radar was Graham Moody. He's going to be a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin. He's had a phenomenal year back in Vancouver, winning some opens and amateurs out there. And has played actually pretty well in the state of Wisconsin too. And he's just outside, I believe, the top 10 in the player of the year point standings here. And he's at number 13, but that's based on just a couple of events, because he went back home for a while. But Graham Moody, with a T2 at the Ray Fisher and a top 10 at the state amateur, is a guy who could contend. However, my concern there, Gary, would be his ability to learn Ozaukee quickly.
Yeah, it depends a lot. I think if guys have gone in and played practice rounds, I think a practice round at Ozaukee is just invaluable especially if you haven't seen it before. But even if you've played it a couple times in the past, just to get out there and get a feel for those greens is critical. So if Graham Moody came in and played a practice round or two, definitely he could be up there.
And then lastly, Patrick Stolpe is another guy who, talking to him, he's an interesting guy. He's, spent most of his life out in the Scottsdale area, playing the mini tours. He's played at about another dozen state opens, it seems, this year. He's got one more after this, I believe, in North Dakota, but he's played, I think, Wyoming and the Laramie, Open, the Wyoming State Open, the Iowa State Open, the Colorado, Open. There's a lot of opportunities for these state opens for guys in Patrick's, kind of age bracket and his experience bracket. Trying to, chase and then I figured it was going to be all setting the stage, Gary, for another run at Korn Ferry Tour qualifying, where he's had some success, but never really gotten through. And he said, no, he's actually going to go and try to qualify for the DP World Tour, the former European Tour, which I found very interesting. We didn't get into it much as to the reasons behind that. I was kind of, just a little bit surprised. He wouldn't be the first guy. I know that, Thomas Longbella, went over and tried to and qualified for the Sunshine Tour in South Africa. So Dan Woltman, I think a number of years ago, tried to qualify for the European Tour and maybe did for a while, or at least got on the secondary tour there. But with this LIV Tour, there's probably a lot of opportunity to make a name for yourself over in on the European side of things, because those fields are certainly watered down. Because it seems to me that percentage wise, a lot more of the name players, the Sergio Garcias and the Paul Casey's and those and that group, Ian Poulter, They were very quick to jump to LIV, weren't they?
They were. That's a really interesting call for Patrick. Like a guy who's played basically all his golf in recent years, other than state opens in the desert Southwest, to go to a completely different style of golf, completely different part of the world. It's a brave call. How old is Patrick? Is he late 30s?
I think he must be, because I think Neil Johnson's 37 and they're basically in that same grouping. And I'll have to double check. I think I've also, Gary, in breaking news, I think I found somewhere on the Blue Golf site where we can find ages again. But
oh, good. That helps.
But yeah, I think he's in his, you know, mid to upper 30s. And but, you know, a grinder, a really nice guy. And
yeah.
You know, and a guy with a lot of game, very powerful. And you know, so we'll see. You know, again, he's playing a couple practice rounds this weekend over at Ozaukee, so he may enter in the mix. But I mean, again, you know, and we haven't even talked about guys like Mason Schmidtke, the young crowd, you know, that has really acquitted itself well, you know, here. You mentioned Cameron Huss and that group, but you know, Mason Schmidtke won the, so it's weird. Mason Schmidtke wins, you know, becomes the first high school kid to win the Ray Fisher. And then Tyler Overmiller, who I was texting with this week, he had to decline his invite into the state open because, you know, he never expected to win the state amateur. So to try to arrange the work schedule and the family schedule, you know, and spend 3 more days away from home when you live in Hudson was not going to work. But, you know, you have a guy who's, you know, in his upper 30s as well, you know, winning the state AM, and we haven't seen that in a while. I don't know how do you even predict the state open based on those two finishes and those two winners?
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, Tyler, as good a player as he is, really wasn't on anybody's radar because he just hasn't played in a whole lot. He's played recreationally basically for the last several years with a young family. And I certainly didn't expect him to win. But you know, once he got in position and on the final day and the final nine holes, he remembered what to do and played great. How do you call a state open? I don't think there's going to be a surprise winner, and I don't think it's going to be a young guy. Nothing against the young players, but I think for those guys, it's very hard to stay patient for 72 holes and take the occasional bogey that you know you're going to make and not press and try to make birdies after that. So I think it's going to be a name player. I think it's going to be someone we've named already, Rob.
Well, there's one guy we haven't named, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't. That was last year's runner-up, Zach Burry, because, you know, he had some great success early in the year, chasing some Mondays, and I think playing – well, he's played on the Dakotas Tour, but, you know, I remember his name from earlier this year in a couple of mini-tour things. He had conditional tour – or conditional status on the PGA Tour Canada – but it must have been lower than Harrison Ott, and so therefore he didn't get the opportunities to get into fields and finish in tournaments the way Harrison did to get into the reshuffle and improve his position through the order of merit. So he hasn't played up there, and it made playing here, you know, an easy call, it would appear. And and based on what we saw last year from him, he was the one guy nipping at Harrison Ott's coattails as Harry, you know, won his second straight title as an amateur. So Zach Burry would be one more that I'd throw in there. I think, you know, yeah, if we haven't named you yet, you know, feel free to make sure and point it out to us when you win the darn thing, because
yeah,
because while we pretend to know a lot, we don't know at all. And and again, yeah, I would be very surprised if someone came out of the pack. That, you know, again, as I was doing the thing, they gave a sponsor's exemption to Nate Colson, who's a 9-time club champion there, former Marquette golfer. And because he won the club championship last year, he knocked out David Brock, who had won the club championship a couple years earlier. David tried twice to qualify and missed just by a little bit both times. So otherwise, you know, that might be the only surprise if you get a guy who's able to, you know the lay of the land because they play there every day. But you're right, 72 holes, and with that 36-hole finale, you mix in the mental fatigue with the physical fatigue, and I'm not sure who it favors.
Yeah, you know, Nate Colson, there's a guy who obviously knows every blade of grass on that golf course and, you know, has qualified for multiple USGA championships and was a really good player back in college at Marquette. So, you know, that's a name we probably should have thrown out with those other 8 or 10 or 12 we did.
Well, I think we've covered half the field, Gary. So we I'd like to think we have our backside covered. I will know who will not win the tournament. And that's like probably about a half dozen guys and gals that won't be there. And I did lead off a little insert into our field breakdown about that. Again, the timing of the State Open is such where it just doesn't line up with a few schedules. This year, as the State Open has often done, it goes head-to-head with the U.S. Amateur. So we lose in that. Griffin Barella, who was actually qualified into the tournament and was exempt, and Pearson Hunt, the 2021 Wisconsin State Amateur Champion, and then Jack Schultz out of Whitefish Bay, the amateur, who finished T20 a year ago and played well at the State Am, and is, you know, again, another former Ray Fisher champion. So those are several guys. And then as Gary documented earlier this week, the two-time defending champion Harrison Ott, not in the field. He's just outside the top 15 on the PGA Tour Canada, as is Thomas Longbella of Chippewa Falls. Longbella is at number 16, and Harry Ott at 18 on that order of merit. And the top five get automatic Corn Ferry Tour status for 2023. And I didn't look at the priority or the criteria, the perks for like 6 through 10, Gary, but I think you can skip stages of Corn Ferry Tour qualifying for, you know, high order of merit finishes there. So that's also a factor. I mean, anytime you can get to a second stage, it brings along benefits too. So it makes sense for those two guys, as well as George Kneiser, who's way down on the list at right now, number 80, to miss, along with Jordan Hahn, who finished in the top 10 last year, the former Badger, who was actually born in Janesville, but we call him the former Badger. And so those, and then two others that I want to make note of. Emily Lauterbach won the Wisconsin Women's State Open, and I felt this course would have suit her perfectly as far as being a the second woman to qualify off the sponsor's exemption for that victory in the Women's State Open. Of course, Mia Seaman played last year, didn't make the cut at Black Wolf Run or Pine Hills, but played, you know, beat a number of the men in the field. So I was looking forward to Emily playing. She's among five women from Wisconsin who will be out in the desert of Palm Springs next week competing in the LPGA Epson Tour qualifying school at Mission Hills Country Club. And and that's actually where I'm headed after I get back from the State Open. And then the last one that we were looking forward to seeing, Mario Tiziani, pulled out because he's caddying this weekend for Steve Stricker at the Boeing Classic up in Seattle. Couldn't make it back for the Monday round. And then, of course, he finds out he's got a sponsor's invite into the Dick's Sporting Good Open next week in Endicott, New York. So he'll be a busy guy next week. That's a lot of conflicts, Gary D'Amato. Is it time to move the dates of the State Open?
Yeah, it's that is a lot of conflicts. It's always gone, or at least in recent years anyway, it's gone up against the U.S. Amateur. And that's unfortunate because we do lose two or three guys every year who would definitely have a chance to win our State Open. One name we didn't mention, Rob, and I'm going to tease to it because he'll be the lead to my sweet spot on Monday on Wisconsin.golf, is four-time champion Dan Woltman, who told me he has not touched his golf clubs, Rob, since the final round of the State Open last year. He has not played any golf for the last year. And I'll get into why in the sweet spot. But Dan, of course, has been a great player for many years. And, you know, if he's on his game and had time to play, he's got a job and a family, he would definitely be a factor too. But we'll miss Dan too at the State Open this week.
So I did a little research on these dates of the State Am and the State Open. Even my daughter in Minnesota said that, you know, she says, boy, you know, Dad, your State Open's pretty late. And I said, really? I never even looked at it. Because in Wisconsin, you've got essentially the state match play and the Ray Fisher locking down June. You've got the state amateur in July and then a number of qualifiers in July, kind of locking down the calendar there, you know, and then we almost never have anything at any level over the 4th of July weekend, unlike some states. And then, you know, I guess you could play, you know, maybe move the State Open up a week or two. But here's, Gary, what I found. Essentially, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin have their state amateurs all at the same time in July. This year, it would have been the 18th through the 21st that week. Michigan plays their state amateur June 27th through July 1st in Wisconsin. That would butt up against the Ray Fisher. And that's already a long week for everybody because the Ray Fisher this year was at the back end of the state match play. So a lot of guys played 7 days in a row there that week. And then Indiana's is June 20th through the 22nd. Now, Illinois, July Stadium, August 1 through 3 state open. Iowa, July Stadium. And then a week and a half later, a Friday through Sunday state open, which is kind of a unique format. Minnesota, the state open actually precedes the state AM, the state open in Minnesota, July 5th through the 7th. So right tight to that 4th of July weekend and the 4th of July. And Michigan, again, state open before the state AM, June 13th through the 16th, which seems pretty early for Michigan, you know, with courses trying to get into, you know, peak shape and everything. But Indiana, June state AM, July state open. I don't know, Gary. I mean, the things that people don't see, you got to secure great courses at a time of the year when, you know, you can get them. And I think I'm seeing a number of club championships already decided. Most member guests, most members have been played, you know, especially at the private clubs. There's a lot more to it than just saying we're going to play the state open here on this date.
Yeah. You mentioned, Rob, June and July. I mean, there's really no good place to put in those 2 months. You can't put it in late May or early June because you knock out all the college and high school players.
Good point.
Yeah, so you really have to play it in August. Could it move a week up? Maybe, probably could. But then you'd have to condense all the qualifying to be around, you know, just before or right after the state amateur. So it's probably in the best spot it can be in right now. And again, it points to the great schedule that the WSGA and the WPGA has put together for our summer. Some other states don't have as many conflicts, I'm sure.
Well, and it's a good point because, you know, state high school championship is now, you know, now that they move to Black Wolf Run and for the boys, you know, it's going to be that first Monday, Tuesday in June. So we start after there. And then there's a number of junior championships in that mix too. And we just came off of about a 2 week run of major junior championships that have occupied their dates for a long, long time. The Wisconsin Junior Masters and what's known as the Wisconsin Junior Girls Championship in that last week of July, and then the Wisconsin Junior Boys Championship in the Sherry Steinhauer the first week of August. And but you raise a good point, Gary, because I know that, you know, Max Schmidtke tried to qualify, I believe, for the state open at Janesville Riverside and missed being an alternate by a shot or two. And that was the day after Mason had won. They were both tired and Mason got the last, he would have gotten the last spot, I think. But anyway, until he got his exemption for winning the Fisher. And, you know, so Max is already back to South Dakota. I don't think I saw Blake Wisdom's name in the field. Not sure if Blake tried to qualify but you know, he's at Bucknell. You know, a lot of schools, a lot of colleges have already started, classes here in mid-August. And so that's, you know, a conflict. I think talking to Mike Wilson, the Badgers coach, you know, at least the Big Ten rule is you can't start practice until you start classes. So they don't even start up till September 1st. So not a big deal for them. But, you know, if you're in a college or university where that's not the case, then, you know, boy, it really stinks to have to miss your state open because you're going to go back to class. But then again, that's why you're a college golfer. Because, so, you know, there's a lot of things that enter into it. I think I'd like to see, you know, I think there's enough wiggle room around the stadium. But, you know, we did see when we were up at Sand Valley, there were no qualifiers at all for the state open until the day after the stadium at Stevens Point Country Club for a number of the guys who went from Sand Valley over to Point Country Club and tried to qualify there. So it really, you know, it's a conundrum. And then, you know, again, trying to secure great venues is another, you know, big thing. And credit to, you know, both the WSGA and the WPGA, you know, they've got these things scheduled out now for quite some time. And you know, just looking ahead on the state open calendar, we've got Century World next year, Minocqua Country Club the year after that. Minocqua Country Club, Gary, will be the one where, you know, I think it'll be a supreme challenge to be able to get the kind of field that we have this year, even more so because of travel logistics. You know, if you're coming from something or going to anything, it's going to be a really tough, you know, haul to get to northern Wisconsin. There's only so many Delta flights that go into Rhinelander International.
Yeah. And you mentioned Blake Wisdom, and if I'm not mistaken, he's also in the U.S. amateur field, isn't he? So he wouldn't have been here anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
he is. So I'm going to need to update that. Oh, I knew I was missing somebody. And then when I text Griffin Barella and he was in there, because Griffin didn't qualify out of Wisconsin either. I think he qualified out in Colorado.
I believe so. Yeah.
And then Blake was, you know, was a medalist down at the CDGA qualifier in Northern Illinois. Only two guys went from that. He shot 66 in one round to put himself in position to medal. So I'll add that to the list. So yeah, Blake Wisdom off at the U.S. Amateur as well. So, you know, again, it speaks to how good is in Wisconsin. And because we've listed about 25 guys who can win the state open and they're all good players, it speaks to, you know, what we've built here. Thanks to the WSGA, the WPGA and others, and the college, you know, golf scene has been great. And the high school golf scene continues to get better and better. So, you know, all those components, I hate to sound like Dennis Ciziani, all those confluences, Gary, are coming together to give us a great state open.
Well, yeah, we listed some guys who won't be here and they would have definitely added a great deal to the field, but to magnify your point, the field is still fantastic. When you look at the guys who are in it, former USGA champion and Jordan Ibrugi, a PGA Tour champions and PGA Tour veteran and Skip Kendall. And then all the guys who have won major tournaments in our state. It's an outstanding field.
And you know who else is going to be there? You and me, buddy. And Jim Kelly with his camera starting bright and early tomorrow. You ready for it?
I'm ready. Looking forward to it, Rob.
All right, Gary. I've enjoyed talking it. I'm excited for the state open and can't wait to see how all this plays out here over the next 3 days. For Gary D'Amato, this has been Rob Hernandez, Talking.Golf, presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.Golf's Shirts of Summer. There are two constants of a Wisconsin summer, heat and humidity. Iron Jock tackles them both with its advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. So join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Follow us at the State Open, and we'll talk golf again next week.